answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Iran, as usual, keeps thinking they can get away with it, that America isn't watching. And this posturing for war, I think, is a major mistake on behalf of the Iranians. History shows it only ends badly for them. Between us and the Israelis, we have a lot of intelligence information on them. They like to hide their drone operations under this guise of exercises, but yet we're almost, you know, flying hours in broad daylight. And I think that's the difference between a regime pretending to project strength and a real military that actually has it. What we're seeing right now, it's not just this routine military maneuvering. It's a chess match in the air. Iran's positioning strike drones under the cover of these drills with Russia. And that tells me two things immediately. First, they still don't want transparency. And second, they're testing this battle positioning under plausible deniability. And by the way, let's not forget that this is exactly what Russia did before they went to war in Ukraine. They lied to the world, and they, even with their own soldiers saying they were conducting military drills, they went across the border and conducted operations.
Do you remember that? You remember Russia posturing itself around Ukraine, saying these are just military exercises. We have no intention of putting a foot on Ukrainian soil. They lied, but they kept the nation and the world waiting to see what was the next step. That is a former military exec on special ops, and he says we're seeing the same thing now with Iran. And while Russia is proclaiming both sides should exercise caution, Russia has been taking part once again in such a subterfuge. This live missile fire to the Hormuz Straits over the last few days that shut down the shipping because we didn't want any ships to be hit by mistake, cargo ships, and so forth. Russia was involved with that, with Iran. And under the cover of that shutdown, they have been moving various drone facilities, ballistic missile operations closer into their coastline so they can strike faster into Israel and other countries as Iran chooses. Now, Russia is not going to be doing the shooting, but they're helping Iran provide a cover. In the meantime, sat photos show more building underway at one of the plants that we hit trying to knock out their nuclear capability last year. They are reopening tunnels. They're building new construction roads. They're putting in more equipment. All the time while sitting in front of U.S. representatives saying, what do we do to have peace and maintain peace? Because that's really what we want. They lie. And we're getting to a point now where it's not going to be acceptable. We cannot allow it to continue. This weekend could be the breaking point. I'm not telling you it will happen. I have no inside information. But what we're seeing begin to build up, everything points to this weekend. And earlier this week, President Trump had said 10 days. 10 days is the deadline. Now, that doesn't mean he would strike on the 10th or even the 11th or 12th. He might well strike on the 6th day. We got a lot to cover, and it's going to be a fast track. You better hold on. Here we go. Hour number one, Larry Connors, USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And yes, we charge out, as I've always said, a bull out of the gate. We're ready to tear into anything and everyone. And with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more information than you have right now, I promise you. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. Watch the program. News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, and of course, Facebook and Twitter are available. And everything goes up as a podcast later in case you cannot stay with us the entire 2 hours. Look for the podcast. Any podcast outlet you want, we would like you to use News Talk STL or LarryConnorsUSA.com. But that's your choice. And with LarryConnorsUSA.com, you can subscribe and we will dump the podcast in your email every day. So you don't have to go look for it. We need minimum information. We do not share, certainly don't even sell the information to anyone else. In our next hour, the Supreme Court has ruled on the Trump tariffs, saying he cannot do that. The ruling 6-3. 6-3. Which means some of the justices appointed as, quote, conservative, went with the liberals. This should really reaffirm to the left and destroy their argument. The Supreme Court's simply going to rubber stamp everything Trump sends them. No, they've already seen evidence of that, and this is a clear set. Now, what happens next? And will Trump have to see our nation repay the tariffs, much less stop applying them? There's a thin line argument here over, are the tariffs the wrong thing? Was it done by the executive branch, not the House, as should be in charge of such any monetary issues? We're going to be joined by a member of the Heritage Foundation, which will give us a direct legal and fiscal responsibility issue points for us. That's in our next hour. Later in this hour, Iranian expert Fred Flights, 30-plus years with national intel operations, including the CIA. What about Iran? Fred Flights will fill us in. And our story behind the story. This week we lost Robert Duvall, the actor. Are you aware of the connections he had to St. Louis? Do you know why he did not want to participate in Godfather number 3? That's all part of the story behind the story, yet to come. Now back to the issue in front of us. President Trump reasserting the other day, Iran needs to recognize where we are.
Now is the time for Iran to join us on a path that will complete what we're doing. And if they join us, that'll be great. If they don't join us, that'll be great too. But it'll be a very different path. They cannot continue to threaten the stability of the entire region, and they must make a deal. Or if that doesn't happen, I maybe can understand. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But bad things will happen if it doesn't.
Yeah, bad things will happen. And we can begin an idea of that. Now, here's what you also need to keep in mind. There will be, obviously, a change in Iran when it's all done. It may come at a high price. It may come at a few swats at each other, and then the Ayatollah rushes off to Russia into hiding and everything collapses. Senator Ted Cruz.
The Iranian regime has provided over 90% of the funding for Hamas and for Hezbollah. To see the mullahs toppled would be a tremendous advance for the people of Iran. It would be a tremendous advance for the Middle East. But most critically, it would be a massive improvement in the national security of the United States. I believe President Trump is providing the leadership that is necessary, and it's making our country a lot safer. I believe there is no deal to be had in terms of the nuclear program. The Ayatollah has shown that he's a liar. He's willing to lie. He wants to delay. His regime is in tatters. He wants time to rebuild. I don't think President Trump is going to fall for that. I think the only deal the Ayatollah can make is to say, I'm out of here. Let me leave. Let me go to Russia. Let me go to somewhere else other than here. That one deal is available to say, all right, we're done.
And in the protest in the streets, for those who are not murdered in the streets by the Iranian regime, they're shouting down with the Ayatollah and also no Shah. They do not want to have a dictatorial control over them again. They want to be more westernized. But it has come at a price for many who have already lost their lives and many more might. And what we can expect, according to a former military special ops operator, watch for Iran to activate a full-blown drone warfare.
I can tell you drone warfare is relentless. It's this constant adaptation. It's electronic warfare layered over kinetic strikes, layered over cyber operations. Iran has been watching that. They've learned a lot from Russia. They've seen how low cost, high volume drone warfare can grind down a technologically superior force. They've seen how electronic warfare jamming drone swarms, it changes the battlefield. And I think, they've absolutely studied how Ukraine innovates in real time, where they've modified drones, shortened the kill chain, and they're trying to absorb those lessons and refine it for their own doctrine.
And I want to stress to you, the other day when I talked and joked about how Iran claims it could destroy an aircraft carrier, they had built one out of wood, blew it apart, so be it. It's out of wood, had no defense mechanism. And I'm making a joke of it, but I do not want you to take it lightly that Iran cannot cause damage. And this drone, multiple hordes of drones could certainly cause damage. And we've got men and women in a theater of war. Pray for them. And then, of course, there's a big question is what is going to happen when the shooting stops? What happens to Iran, the country, the people? The view of a former Israeli defense officer.
We should be very careful about who is going to take power in Iran if the regime will fall. Until now, I don't see anyone that is willing or aiming to take power. Just the only one that is speaking about it is the son of the Shah. But this guy left Iran, he was about 17 years old. And I'm not sure that he, although he's speaking about it, I'm not sure that he's ready or willing to leave the easy life in the States and coming back to Iran and standing before this huge country and the huge problems that he is going to have there. This is something that we should consider. But having said that, we do have an interest to change the regime. I'm speaking about Israel, of course.
And of course, we're connected to Israel, more so than many Democrats would want us to be. But we as a nation are connected to Israel. They're our greatest ally in that part of the world. And believe me, in that part of the world where regimes change, alliances change, you'd like to have stability. Israel is stable with the U.S. And we're stable with them as long as we keep some of the progressive Democrats, anti-Semites, out of control. They're still preaching about the genocide that took place that Israel carried out against Gaza and Hamas. And I think the former Israeli defense officer is correct when he said the Green Prince, the former second-in-command or Shah, under the Shah in the Iran, probably does not want to leave the safety and the life of the U.S. to go back to living among the rocks as they rebuild Iran, if nothing else, to save his life. But then we have the other issue, as he pointed out. They have additional concerns that maybe we are not properly addressing.
We do have an interest to change the regime. I'm speaking about Israel, of course. A few reasons. First of all, we need to finish once and for all the nuclear capabilities of Iran and bring them to zero. Second, the ballistic rockets, which is even in a way more strategically important for us than the nuclear weapon. Why? Because today Iran doesn't have a nuclear bomb, but they have about 2,000 ballistic rockets that they can shoot on Israel, or at least part of them on Israel, and it's a lot of damage. So in a way, I think the ballistic rockets are very, very important for us.
And obviously, you can see why. Because they're within striking distance of those missiles. And he points out that he believes that Witkoff, our ambassador heading up the talks, and Jared Kushner, who's with him, they're focusing on a lot of things Iran, but maybe not as much on these ballistic missiles. And he's afraid if they don't get those covered, then we're going to have to do something about it. And I fully expect the IDF to do what it threatens to do. They don't speak politely and follow it up with a gift of candy. They speak directly, and they follow up with what they say they're going to do. Good for them. Still, whatever happens when it's all done is important to the world, not just that region. Senator Cruz.
It is entirely possible, Sean, that in the next 6 months, we will see the regimes fall in Iran, in Venezuela, and in Cuba. And we could also see governments replace them that want to be friends with the United States of America. Now, let me be clear. I'm not being Pollyannish about this. There are 1,000 things that can go wrong. But if that happens, this would be the most consequential geopolitical shift since the fall of the Berlin Wall, since America won the Cold War without firing a shot. I spoke with President Trump the day before yesterday, and we talked in particular about Iran. And I said, this moment, the regime is teetering. The Ayatollah is in his last days. And I said, do not let this opportunity pass. We have an opportunity. The Ayatollah routinely chants death to America. This is a regime that is the leading state sponsor of terrorism on the face of the planet. It is responsible for murdering hundreds of American servicemen and women. The Iranian regime has provided over 90% of the funding for Hamas and for Hezbollah.
And let me remind you, we don't know how many of these terrorists are inside our borders. We don't know how many of them Iranian jihadists are inside our borders, though, because of Joe Biden's open border policy. Let everyone in. Thank you, Joe Biden. The Department of Homeland Security now says four nations, citizens of four nations we would not allow in, are inside our borders. Nicaragua, Cuba, Haiti, Honduras. And not to say all of them are a threat to America, but we don't know about these cells, where they are, what their plan is. And speaking of Nicaragua, it appears that 8% of the entire Nicaraguan population came across the border, now inside our nation. I don't know if they would be part of a terrorist cell or not. But there you go again. Lack of secure borders means you really have no nation and put you at a very grave risk. Thank you, Joe Biden. Coming up, Fred Flights, 30 years in national intel with the CIA and other agencies. And our story behind the story, actor Robert Duvall and some connections to St. Louis and more. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is. Oh, and I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. When what deep in love, yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Recently, President Trump said Iran has 10, maybe 15 days to reach a nuclear deal or face bad things, and bad things are already beginning to build in Iran, and the U.S. is on the edge of it as well, and Russia, giving us an insight on what's happening inside Iran the best he can. Obviously has the expertise to go with it. 30-plus years in national intel, including the CIA, now vice chair of the America First Policy Institute, Fred Flights. Fred, welcome aboard.
Hey, good to be here.
Well, so we're watching this buildup. We know that we are now having two aircraft carriers in the region, and we're going to have the Abraham Lincoln has been in the region. Now the Ford moving from the Caribbean, going through the Strait of Gibraltar to get in closer to Israel, and then we've got others ready. And then we watch the Strait of Hormuz shut down for supposedly a live fire practice with Iran and Russia participating. What is going on?
Well, it's really an unfortunate situation because President Trump is prepared to make a deal with Iran. And the Iranians met with his representatives and they just weren't prepared to make any serious concessions. They just wanted to waste time. One U.S. official told the media that the talks were like a hamburger stuffed with nothing. And the Iranians are very skilled at this. They know that most presidents are happy to have talks. It makes it look like they're getting something done. But
right,
they are a means to an end, and there's no end here. So I think we're moving towards a military confrontation. I suspect the president will wait until after the State of the Union address is going to give next week. But the door is still open to a deal if the Iranians want it.
Now, let's break this down. We talked about the State of the Union. Let's begin there. A lot of folks are worried, could this happen this weekend? He can set some days, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a true deadline, plus minus one way or the other. But you do think no real military action will take place until after next Tuesday?
I think that's right. Now, the president said they have 10 days to decide. Well, we heard that in June. when the president said they had 10 days, and I think two or three days later he attacked and it was a surprise. The difference here is this will not be a surprise. The Iranians are ready. They probably think they can use their weapons to attack the American fleet, but I don't think they understand that our military war games this constantly, and they have a number of tactics and some advanced weapons the Iranians do not know about.
Well, to that extent, I had earlier some information with a former military intel operative and talking about drones, using swarms of drones, jamming signals, and overcoming whatever we have just because there's so much confusion.
I'm sure the Iranians plan to use drones to attack our forces, but we're better at drones than they are, and we have weapons to take out drones. They've been successful, and they've built drones that the Russians have used successfully in Ukraine. Our military knows all about that, and I think they'll be prepared.
The fearful line, though, Fred, and as you well know, we've got to be right every time. They only need to be right once. They would love nothing better than, even if it's a support ship, to be blown out of the water.
No, I think that's exactly right. But if Israel and the U.S. plans to attack, and we have to hope this doesn't happen, that we can find a way out of this, both countries just used a small percentage of their military might last June. And there's many, many facilities they didn't go near. I think if the Iranians were to try to engage both countries, they're going to be beaten very badly.
So what about this live fire exercise, the Strait of Hormuz the other day, to shut down the strait for a couple of days? And during that time, Russia working with them, there apparently was a lot of movement inside Iran, moving missile batteries and so forth closer to their coastline.
I think they're trying to prepare for an attack, and the Supreme Leader also threatened to blow off a U.S. aircraft carrier, to sink an aircraft carrier. This doesn't seem to be a nation that's interested in a peaceful resolution. And, you know, they can move their forces as much as they want, but they are so inferior to what the U.S. and Israel has. And, you know, we know where their assets are.
Now, we do not know exactly what damage we did or did not cause with last summer's strikes. But SAT's photos are now showing they're rebuilding and retooling in some of those same areas.
I think we probably set back Iran's nuclear program 5 to 10 years, and quite a bit of it was just collapsed on. And in some instances, if they can get into these underground locations and tunnels, they've been poisoned by radioactive gas that happens when the enriched uranium gas was released, and other things that will make it very hazardous and difficult for them to get back. But it's been known for some time that the Iranians were engaged in defensive measures around these facilities so they wouldn't be damaged further. There's some facilities that were not damaged or were only slightly damaged. I think they're especially concentrating on protecting areas where they're storing short-range and medium-range missiles, most of which were not destroyed.
All right, there brings the other issue, and that is from Israel, saying that they're worried that perhaps Witkoff, our peace negotiator, along with Jared Kushner, are focused too much on the big picture of Iran and the nuclear weapons, and those ballistic missiles are crucial regarding Israel.
The Israelis have wanted to conduct another attack for several months because they're worried that Iran's short-range and medium-range missiles could be fired at Israel. And they also know the Iranians have figured a way through Israel's Golden Dome missile defense. If they concentrate on one spot, they can get through it. They can't do a lot of damage, but they will kill Israelis. And I think that's what Iran's tactic will be. It won't be a lot of damage, but they will maybe be able to destroy a town if they concentrate all their missiles and drones at one location.
I have no doubt that they will be cooperating and working with USA as we need them and they need us. But I also believe that they will probably set their own path as they always have.
I think that's right. The Israelis have been ready for this for a long time. For the state of Israel, this is an existential threat. This is a fanatic country that has, its leaders have constantly threatened to wipe Israel off the map. If you're an Israeli, if you're a Jew, you take threats like that very seriously. You take them literally.
And you've got the people that have been killed in the streets, some even in hospitals because they were considered to be among the protesters, trying to overthrow the current regime, and also saying we don't want an Ayatollah and we don't want a Shah. They want to be a more Western country.
Tens of thousands, I think, have been killed. And I think your point about the Shah is exactly right. I think the Shah has significant support, the Shah's son, but also significant opposition, because the Shah did not have a good reputation when he was in power. He was a pretty ruthless leader. I think his son seems to be pretty decent, and he's someone who the Iranian people could unite around, but not all Iranian Americans or Iranians agree with me on that.
And one Israeli leader believes that he has no interest in, he will talk the talk, but he really has no interest in returning to that country. And the condition it's in now, much less what it might be in after all of this is finished.
I haven't. That I thought there was a possibility that the Shah's son might go back, but you might be right. I hadn't heard that.
Well, I'm not. I'm just relaying what I've heard from IDF from time to time. But what would happen when all the shooting stops?
Well, that's a really good question, because the U.S. is not going to bomb the Ayatollah and his government out of power. They are going to embolden the protest, encourage them, maybe weaken security. But it's still going to be a long and bloody struggle. I think the president has to have a long-term strategy, which he has to explain to the American people why the Iranian government is still in place after we bomb the heck of it, probably next week.
All right. And again, that would be following the Tuesday night State of the Union address. But right now, we have fingers on the trigger. We're just waiting for the order.
I think that's right, and I believe the president is getting frustrated because he really was willing to make the Iranians a deal, and I think they believe they can manipulate him, and they made that mistake in June. It looks like they're making the same mistake now.
And what support are we going to get in the international community?
Well, the international community hates this, and obviously they'd rather go through the UN. They would rather that there'd be some type of united coalition. The international community didn't like it when Israel and the U.S. attacked last year, but most of them secretly supported it because they admitted, well, look, Iran is making near weapons-grade uranium. That's bad, but you should have gone through the UN. We can't go through the UN because the Russians and Chinese will veto anything we want to do. I think after this is done, we will get support from most of our allies, but right now, they don't have the courage to back us.
Back one final question again as to what happens afterwards in Iran. Chaos, the fighting between the various religious groups and tribes. What would be left?
Well, I think there's a big question as to if the government is overthrown, or let's say the leaders leave, who and what will govern it? I think there's going to be a lot of instability. We don't have a good answer for that.
So we're back to the devil we know versus the devil we don't?
The devil we know is awfully bad. So we need to put thought into helping with a transition to a moderate government. And I'm sure that our government and our allies are working on that, but I frankly don't have a good answer.
And how close does that come to, quote, nation building?
Well, we're not going to send troops in there and try to occupy the country and force a new system on them. This is something the Iranian people have to do.
Fred Flights, Vice Chair of the American First Policy Institute. Thank you very much, as always, for your time. Your expertise is undeniable. Thank you, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you.
God bless. Fred Flights. So perhaps nothing happens till after Tuesday. We will see. Coming up, the story behind the story, focusing on deceased actor Robert Duvall.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40, EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's pigeons down on Market Square. She's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. Nightfall will be coming soon. Oh my my, oh hell yes, you got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road. Last dance with Mary Jane, one more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Napalm, son. Nothing else in the world smells like that. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb for 12 hours. When it was all over, I walked up. We didn't find one of them, not one stinking dink body. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? The whole hill smells like victory. Someday this war's gonna end.
Robert Duvall. His world ended this week at age 95. That is, of course, one of the more famous clips from Apocalypse Now. 1979 movie, and that remark, I love the smell of napalm in the morning, is regarded as an iconic statement in cinema. Robert Duvall, born January 1931, and as we said, passed away the 15th of this month, earlier this week, at age 95. He does have ties to St. Louis, so we're going to get into some of that as well. He's also well known for the work in The Godfather. Now, before we get too deep into The Godfather, let me go through some of the other film credits and things he did that maybe you weren't aware of. Let's go back to a career that began and then ended up spanning seven decades, where he received an Academy Award, four Golden Globe Awards, two Primetime Emmy Awards, Screen Actors Guild Award, always acclaimed for his technical proficiency and chameleon-like ability to assume a convincing role. One labeled him as the American Olivier, and that label stuck. I often saw Duvall, and in many cases, I detected, and this is not to say anything bad about him, but it seemed to be the same kind of cadence and remarks, and it was all, you could just tell it was Duvall. And yet he did get himself deep into each character. He was raised in the Christian Science religion. And there is one part of his relationship to St. Louis. His father was in the U.S. Naval Academy, and at one point they ended up moving from Annapolis, Maryland, and he ended up attending Principia in St. Louis before graduating with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Principia College in Illinois in 1953. His father expected him to attend the Naval Academy, but Duvall said, and I'm quoting, "I was terrible at everything but acting. I could barely get through school." He said, "I did serve in the U.S. Army after the Korean War, leaving as private first class." He said, "That's led some confusion in the press. Some stories have me shooting it out with the commies from a foxhole over Frozen Chosen, Pork Chop Hill and stuff." He said, "Hell, I barely qualified with the M1 in basic training." In the winter of 55, he began attending a neighborhood playhouse school at the theater in New York City. And there was where he got recognized and tells a story about how he was then offered his first opportunity.
I did a play at the neighborhood playhouse way back called The Midnight Caller. And that night, Kim Stanley came, Robert Mulligan, Horton, and his wife. I played a drunk guy, kid guy, you know, looking for some of his girlfriend. And about 2 years later, when they were to cast the part of To Kill a Mockingbird, Horton Foote's wife said, "What about that boy we saw at the neighborhood playhouse?" So that's what, you know, and Robert Mulligan, the director, had been there that night. So it was my first part. And I did about four or five nice films with Horton.
And To Kill a Mockingbird, he was Boo Radley. To Kill the Mockingbird, 1962. Now, originally, he was to have one line. They ended up cutting that one line. So throughout the entire movie, Boo Radley, Robert Duvall, while he's a prime suspect in the story of To Kill a Mockingbird, he is never stating anything. He was a recluse. And they decided to continue to portray him that way. He appeared in a number of films during the 60s, mostly mid-sized parts. Had a small part as a cab driver who ferries Steve McQueen around just before that massive chase scene in the film Bullet, 1968. He also had a part in True Grit, where he was in a shootout with John Wayne's Rooster Cogburn. He also ended up in MASH and even in The Twilight Zone. But the real recognition in addition to those also included Lonesome Dove, Augustus McCrae, great book and great movie. In fact, Duvall said that is my favorite character of all time, being Augustus McCrae in the movie Lonesome Dove. If you haven't seen it, read the book, I strongly encourage you to do it. But then came something called The Godfather.
I found out about this Captain McCluskey who broke Mike's jaw.
What about him?
Now, he's definitely on Sulaco's payroll and for big money. See? Now, McCluskey has agreed to be the Turk's bodyguard. What you have to understand, Sonny, is that while Sulaco is being guarded like this, he is invulnerable. Now, nobody has ever gunned down a New York police captain, never. It would be disastrous. All the five families would come after you, Sonny. The Corleone family would be outcast. Even the old man's political protection would run for cover. So do me a favor. Take this into consideration.
So that's Duvall as the Consigliere in Godfather 1. He also did the same role in Godfather 2. He was the legal counsel. He was an adopted son of the Godfather and then tapped to serve as their legal counsel and represent them. But when it came to a Godfather number three, once again to play Tom Hagen, the consigliere, he declined. Why? Well, he said, if they're not going to pay me proper, then I'm not taking it. In fact, he was quoted on 60 Minutes, if they paid Pacino twice what they paid me, that's fine, but not three or four times. So he walked away from it. He also appeared in a movie called The Great Santini.
You may not have the privilege of serving under the meanest, toughest, screaming squadron commander in the Marine Corps. Me, has the Great Santini ever let his family down?
Yes!
You don't trust the Great Santini?
No!
I don't want you to consider me as just your commanding officer. I want you to look on me like I was God.
Every drill instructor tells troops that. And those were the lines he delivered to his fellow Marines. But you heard in the background, he's saying some of that while he's talking to his kids at the car. And they're not going to look at him like that. The Great Santini was another excellent movie, and the portrayal by Robert Duvall was amazing. Here he was, a Marine commander, but there was no war to be involved in. His war kind of became an inner war, and with his family. The Great Santini. Do you know what movie he did that won him an Oscar? And do you know there's still another St. Louis connection other than Principia? Well, think about it, because there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
I'll be everything this man can be before I start. If you just hold the ladder, baby, I'll climb to the top.
I think it's a valid film, valid enough that we have gotten very much applause of a certain kind from certain members of the country western community, such as my friend Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and this is certainly a very high level of criticism coming from those people. And if I didn't have that on one hand, I would feel that this on the other hand was not complete. But the combination of both tonight makes this a very complete and exciting evening for me tonight. And I want to thank the Academy very much for this award. I'm very happy. Thank you.
That was the night that Robert Duvall won his first Emmy. He played a country western singer in Tender Mercies. That was him doing the singing. And as you heard him say, the fact that we got not just the award, but I got acclaim from other country western singers and entertainers, like my good friends, Johnny Cash among them, he said, and Waylon Jennings, he said, that really is a payoff for me. Francis Ford Coppola described Duvall at one point as, quote, one of the four or best five actors in the world. It's very high ranking. His other connection to St. Louis. Robert Duvall has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and there'd been talk about putting one in St. Louis Walk of Fame, but apparently it was not enough to decide it would be proper because he wasn't truly St. Louis, just attending Principia. I disagree with that. Should put it one in. He was married four times, did not have any children. As he said in one interview, he said, I've tried with a lot of different women in and out of marriage. I guess I'm shooting blanks, Robert Duvall. He ended up meeting his first wife, a former announcer and dancer on the Jackie Gleason show, while he was filming To Kill a Mockingbird. Second marriage, Gail Young, married to him from 82 to 86. Third marriage, Sarah Brophy, a dancer. Fourth wife, Luciana Pedraza from Argentina. He said, I met her in Argentina. The flower shop was closed, so I went to the bakery. If the flower shop had been open, I never would have met her. He was 41 years older. And they'd been together since 1997. He produced, directed, and acted with her in the Assassination Tango in 2002, filmed in Buenos Aires. And in fact, Duvall is known as a, or was known obviously, as a skilled Argentine tango dancer. He also trained in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Political views, he kept them to himself, did not wear them on his sleeve. Variously described as libertarian, conservative. Personally invited George W. Bush's inauguration. He did support Rudy Giuliani's campaign in the 2008 Republican presidential nomination. 2008, he was on stage with John McCain and Sarah Palin, I should say. He also endorsed nominee Mitt Romney. Otherwise, he stayed out of that and stayed to what he knew best, acting, entertaining, because he knew that's what the audience wanted. He died at his farm in Virginia the 15th of this month at the age of 95. Robert Duvall. Monday, the story behind the story, the ugly truth behind TV and radio ratings. How do they get them? That will be Monday. We still have another hour to go for you. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for a Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.